Scripture Bible. They just keep growing and growing the more that you study them. So from this passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, it becomes a very powerful, powerful verse of Scriptures. It's dealing with happiness and contentment of life. And you know, when we come down to the end of our life's journey, and we all on a life's journey, and I'm assure you here this day that we're all going to end our journey one day. And if we live long enough, a lot of times we might even outlive our family and most of our friends. And you know, if you live long enough, your health will begin to fail you and it will be gone. And maybe your wealth that you have will not bring it back, but no matter how much wealth that you have. When it really comes down to the last thing we have in this life, we realize we have Jesus. And whenever you realize you have Jesus, that's really the only thing that you really need, is just Jesus. So if I know this, and I know that Jesus Christ means more to me than anything else in this life, because your relationship, your family, your loved ones will soon be passed away out of this life, and the relationship that remains will be Jesus Christ. And if I know this, and you know this morning, how come that we do not spend more time praising and thanking Jesus Christ for what he means to each and every one of us? Every morning I try to thank him and to praise him for my salvation. And then all the aspects of a salvation that he has given me. And then I ask you this morning, why are you really here at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church this morning? What is the real reason that you came this morning? Because you had to, because you wanted to, or just because that you wanted to just praise and worship Jesus Christ? You will never live this day again. You will never live this day again. So I need to learn to thank and to praise him more, because my life is coming down to one thing, and that's Jesus. That's Jesus. So thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon me. I like that old song. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing upon me. You see, I have a roof over me and a good place to sleep. Food on the table and shoes on my feet. And then thank you, Lord, that you gave me your love. And can you say this morning, thank you, Lord, for a fine family. A family here this day, a church family, but also your physical family. So I just want to praise the Lord this morning. And it's a great opportunity that we have just to praise Jesus Christ this morning. So the painted sticks of this world, I'd like to ask you a question. Are you really a satisfied person this morning? Are you really a complete satisfied person this morning? Think about that for a moment, because in this verse of Scripture, it's going to tell you how to have complete satisfaction. And the world is looking for this satisfaction, but they're looking for it in all the wrong places. There's only one place that you'll ever, ever, ever find complete satisfaction, and that is in Jesus Christ. What a great blessing it is to still be able to stand and say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the heir of our salvation. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, and I'll read verse 1 through 6, but we're going to look at verse 6. I want to do a series of these Beatitudes, but Lord, let me come to this verse 6. Jesus speaking, and it says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up to a mountain, and he was set. His disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the great mercy of the day. For letting us be part of this creation that you have created this day. Father, I want to thank you now for this service. Father, that you might overshadow the service here this morning. Lord, we just pray that your presence might be magnified here this day. And Father, for every heart might be laid open bare before you. And Father, a great message from Jesus Christ might enter into that heart. Each person here, Lord, we know that you have made different in individuals. And each one of us here today have different needs. But Father, we just pray this day that that heart might understand that you're the answer to all of our needs. And Father, we just heed and turn. Father, we just pray, Lord, for the ones that's come here this day, and you're going to speak to the heart about certain issues. Father, they may accept what you say in your precious word. Father, the one that might be saved here today might accept you as Lord and Savior. Lord, they might come, Lord, today to understand that Jesus is the way. So we want to thank you. We want to praise you this day from every word that we can speak, oh God. We just pray, God, that you might season it with grace. And all these blessings, we thank you and ask you in the name of Jesus Christ to bless this service this morning in your precious name. And amen. We know the world today has created a great hunger for the things of this world in our heart. We think we have to have all these things of this world because they've done a very good job. Madison Avenue have done a great job of giving us a bad case of the wants. We want this and we want that. They've done a good job at this. The TV and the advertising, we know that even we and our children, they have taught us as we see things on television that say, hey, we deserve this. We deserve these things. These things will make you happy. And we find out we desire these things, but when we get these things, we find out they will not make you happy. Are you a happy person this morning? Are you happy or are you dissatisfied and unhappy this morning? I believe every one of us wants to be a happy person this morning. I believe that you want to be a satisfied person this morning. But I can tell you there's only one way, and that is Jesus' way. And it is Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord speaks to us in several ways. And I'll tell you the reason I titled this message, The Pain of Sticks of the World, because I was reading where a man was watching his wife decorate the backyard for a party for the kids. And she was decorating the backyard, and we find out that she was putting flowers and balloons and ribbons and painted sticks along the walk just to decorate the backyard for the party for the kids. And this man said God speaks in all different types of ways. Do y'all realize God speaks in different types of ways to you? Well, he was watching these painted sticks, and he saw a caterpillar. And this little caterpillar began to crawl up these painted sticks. And he watched this caterpillar as he climbs up these little painted sticks, and he gets to the top, and he just said that caterpillar kind of looks around expecting to find a young twig or a little leaf or something he might be able to grouse around on. He didn't find anything at the top of the painted stick. So he climbs back down and he watches and he goes over to another painted stick. And he climbs up another painted stick and looks around. He don't find anything to eat. He climbs back down and he climbs to another painted stick. Well, I want to tell you this world and people this day are climbing the painted sticks of this world and they are not finding the fulfillment of the heart as they need to be. You see, there are voices that says, climb me and find desires of your heart and fulfill and the purpose of why you exist. The painted sticks of pleasure. There's plenty of people today thinks they'll be happy if they can have enough of pleasure. So they climb the painted sticks of pleasure that they find when they get to the top that do not make them happy. And they find out the pleasure soon run dry. So they try another painted sticks of this world and they try wealth. They try to get all the money they can, have no time for the things of God. But if I could just get enough of wealth, if I can just climb this painted stick of wealth, and if I could get enough of money in the bank and enough of CDs and have enough of wealth and have enough of things I could buy everything I want, man, if I could just climb this painted stick. And when they get to the top of that painted stick, they'll find out they're not satisfied as the old caterpillar was. Well, we'll try power and prestige and we'll try fame. And everything this world is trying, climbing these painted sticks. And I dare say today that you see after that you're saved, there's a lot of Christians still trying to climb the painted sticks of this world. And they will not find the satisfaction that God intends for them to have. You see, there's a merry-go-round of life. And you know, when you get on this merry-go-round of life, you find out you get back off the same place where you got on at. The painted sticks of this world. You'll never find satisfaction in the penis sticks of this world. Never, when you're seeking satisfaction, you set out to find satisfaction, you'll never find it by the penis sticks of the world. And if you're not very careful, you know what a caterpillar turns into? It turns into a butterfly. And I was reading about this little boy in the backyard was trying to catch this yellow butterfly. And he said, boy, if I could just catch this yellow butterfly. It's so pretty. I think I just got to have it. I want it so bad. He chased this yellow butterfly all evening long. And finally, he caught that yellow butterfly. But then when he opened up his hand, there was just a smear of yellow. You see, it disappears in your hands today. And I want to tell you, you want to be happy. And you want to have contentment. You need to quit climbing the penis sticks of this world. You need to quit chasing the butterflies of this life. And you find out that Jesus Christ is exactly what you need. And that is today what I hope you choose. We chase the butterflies without Jesus Christ. I tell you, we'll never ever have the satisfaction that God intends for us to have. It says that in that verse 6 again. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The hunger and thirst bring satisfaction. I like first of all, the food of a spiritual man. The food of a spiritual man. And I like to talk to you about righteousness. Because hunger and thirst, it says after righteousness. It did not say, and Jesus Christ did not say, that hunger and thirst after happiness. Don't hunger and thirst after happiness. It says hunger and thirst after righteousness. After righteousness, I like to ask you a question this morning. What is righteousness? But what goes a lot deeper than that into your mind, I like to ask you, who is righteous? Righteousness is not found in a thing. Righteousness is found in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and satisfaction and sanctification and redemption. Righteousness of Jesus Christ. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after Jesus. That's what you could read that verse and say. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after Jesus. Because you'll never be righteous until you receive Jesus. And you'll never be happy until you receive the righteousness that Jesus Christ has for each and every one of us this day. Jesus Christ is a heavenly bread for the earthly hunger that we have. Mankind is searching for this hunger. So bad are we searching for this hunger, this world. But you see, there will be no satisfaction of this hunger, this world, unless you receive Jesus Christ. These three words in that 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, justification, sanctification, and glorification, or righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. This justification, because that's what Christ has done for you in the past. He has saved you in the past. It would be correct to say this morning, if you understand what he's saying in these verses of scriptures, I have been saved, I am being saved, and I will be saved. Justification, I have been saved in the past, each and every one of us, 2,000 years ago at the cross of Calvary. Sanctification, a process of being saved right now. I'm becoming more of what I am already in Jesus Christ. It is a process, and I will be saved in glorification. I will have a new body one day. Justification, sanctification, and glorification is all rolled into one, and it says salvation this day. Jesus Christ says, this righteousness I give unto you, the righteousness and the sanctification and the redemption of the whole body, soul, and mind today. It says, blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness today. And Psalm 7:17 says, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praises to the name of the Lord Most High. Blessed and hunger, the joy and that says that we need today. That's what this word blessed means. It means happiness there in Christ Jesus. The joyful that we have knowing Christ as our Savior. And it means congratulation today. Every person here this day, what I like to tell you from Jesus Christ, he is saying, congratulations, you have righteousness. Congratulations for everybody body have accepted Jesus Christ, you have righteousness. It is a gift that I give to every one of us. We should have happiness because we have righteousness in Jesus Christ. And without this righteousness, you will never, ever be happy. And Jesus Christ is on his way that you get this righteousness today. So, congratulations. I hope that you're happy today because I hope you're saved today. And on his way, you can be saved except in Jesus Christ and his righteousness today. Not one of us hunger and thirst after happiness. That's not what he says. Everybody who sets out in life to be happy, never satisfied. They're always looking. Man, you know, I tell you, the Madison Avenue and everything tells us today, man, what you need to do, you need to get you a good education, which you should. You need to go to college if you get a chance, if you should. And then, you know, you set out on your career. Man, you need to make all the money you can. Get you a good job. I mean, then get you a house and all these other things you get, and then that'll make you happy. All the things that are trying to sell you in this life, God says, you know, I know your needs and I'll meet your needs. But all the needs you think you have today, you'll find out that Jesus Christ is your biggest need. And without Jesus Christ, you'll never be happy. A lot of people set out to be happy without Jesus Christ. No time for things of God. No time for God. And when they get married, you know, and they bring family into this world, they don't have time to bring the kids to church. They have set out for their great, great happiness of this old world, and they climb in the painted stick of pleasure and happiness in the world. When they get to the top of that stick and they look around and they'll find out, I don't see anything up here. And you'll find out this day, climbing those old painted sticks of this world, you will never be satisfied with the painted sticks of this world. Happiness is not something that you find. Happiness is not something that you find. It's not something that you're just looking for. Happiness is a byproduct of righteousness. Hear me this morning. Happiness is a byproduct of righteousness. You will never, ever be happy without Jesus Christ. Why? God's made that vacuum in a human soul to always there be a desire there for the spiritual things, that spiritual soul that God has created in you. You will never, ever be happy in this life until you find Jesus Christ. This righteousness. Now, why are we so dissatisfied? And why is people so unhappy? We are living in a generation where there's so many people is so unhappy. We got more things than we ever had before. We want to get more things. And you see, all the advertisement says you need these things. You got to have these things to make you happy. We got more things and we got more gadgets and we got more things than any generation ever known on the face of this earth in the country that you and I live in today. And they're more unhappiness and then more dissatisfaction than they've ever been in the life of human being is the day that we're living today in the country that we're living in today. Why? Because we're looking for happiness in all the wrong places. It's in Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Unhappiness now is not the sickness, it's the symptoms of the sickness. And the sickness is unrighteousness. Remember that now. Unhappiness and dissatisfaction is not the sickness. It is the symptoms of the sickness. And the sickness is unrighteousness. Now, everybody that do not know Jesus Christ is unrighteous. Y'all understand that. If you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ, you are a righteous person. How'd you get that? Except in Jesus Christ. It was a gift to each and every person to accept Jesus Christ. And his righteousness is imputed to you, is put on your account, and you're made righteous. Nothing that you can work for, nothing that you can seek for, because Jesus Christ said it is a gift. You don't work for a gift. It is a gift of righteousness. You are right. Now, a person that have not accepted Jesus Christ, the wrath of God's upon his head. Now, the symptom of this dissatisfaction that we're seeing everywhere around us, in our families, in our own life, is a people that is unrighteous. How are they unrighteous? They have not accepted the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so they're so dissatisfied and they're so unhappy. And this is a symptom of unrighteousness. That's why we have all these problems and turmoil we have in our country at this time. And you know what happened over in Colorado? We see what happened, and many people was killed and wounded by this person. It was very, very sad and destructive, and his mind was just so full of evil. But all these things happen to this world today because people are so dissatisfied and they are unhappy because they are unrighteous. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, God said something very unusual when he penned it in the Word of God by the Holy Spirit of God in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 and on, that I'll read. And it says, "And unto Adam he said, because thou have hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and have eaten the tree of which I have commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, Then he says something that's very strange. He says, you know, for us to comprehend in our mind, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Cursed is the ground for your sake. He said, cursed is the ground because I love you. It's not because of punishment, as we might think so many times, but it says for your sake. He says, because I love you. Why we have all these things in life? Because it says, cursed is the ground. It says, sorrow shall thou eat of all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and they shall eat the herbs of the field. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken. For dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. Because I love you, cursed is the ground for thy sake. We think maybe today we have a lot of pain and groans and everything. Well, why do we have this? Because God loves us. You mean to tell me I have pain because God loves? Boy, if I could just get above this pain. Do you ever think that that's a blessing that God has given human race is a pain? Pain. Because it tells us there's something wrong with this body. There's something wrong with this body when we have a pain. The sickness that we have. When Adam and Eve sinned, it would have been a terrible thing, you see, if he would just lived all the rest of his life there in the Garden of Eden and never had any pain. It would have been something, you know, if man would live in that condition. You see, because God loves us. When Adam sinned, it was a terrible sickness that moved in upon Adam's race. And you know what that was? It was unhappiness. That moved in. That's the sin that moved in, was unhappiness. And the symptom is there of sickness. The worst thing that could happen for him to continue in his own life, you see, in the state in the garden and never have any pain. You think about this. Would the world be better off without pain? You think about a leprosy. In the Bible times, leprosy was one of the most terrible diseases there was. And today it's still a really terrible disease. But see, leprosy, if you think about pain, they didn't have pain. I mean, they could walk on and step on a thorn or a nail, you know, in their foot, and they wouldn't have any pain. They wouldn't know it. You know, they could sit down on a tack and they wouldn't know it. Their fingers begin to fall off and have no pain. They had no feeling and sensitivity in their body. You say, man, if I could get where I don't have any pain. Pain tells you that there's something wrong. That's the reason that you have pain. Man, you better have some pain. You know what you do? When I have a kidney stone, there's pain in it, Brother Darrell. I'm going to tell you, there's pain. You know what I want to do? I want to get to the hospital. I want something to help me out with that pain. But you see, what's really wrong with it, there's something else wrong with my body, and it tells me that there's something wrong. Get in the hospital. Get some help, you know, as quick as you can. There's pain, but there's something causing that pain. If every time I went and I had a pain or a kidney stone, they just put me a Band-Aid and said, go back to the house, I wouldn't think too much of that doctor. I want him to get to the root of that pain. I want to see what's causing that pain. And you find out what's causing pain. You see, that's a great thing when we find out. Because pain is a messenger from God to these bodies that we have today. Our physical bodies, if you think about it, that is a messenger to us this day. That God telling us this pain, letting us know there is something wrong with the physical body. Now, let me show you what's wrong. It says the same thing about these spiritual bodies. Now, this pain, now dissatisfaction and unhappiness that people have in life today. There's people now, there may be some here today. If you now have accepted Jesus Christ, there's something wrong with you. And the dissatisfaction, unhappiness is the pain of the spiritual realm that God has given you. That's what's wrong with people. They're always searching, always digging. They're always trying to climb these painted sticks of this world. Why? Because there's something wrong with them. This dissatisfaction, that's what God is showing them. And the unhappiness that they have, they're looking here. They're climbing this stick. They're trying to find this. They're climbing this stick, and they're climbing this stick. And they say, man, if I could just get on this stick, if I could just get this. This is the sin in the spiritual realm. It's what's wrong with people. Always wanting, and never content. Because God has given them this pain, as you might call it, in the spiritual realm to let them know there's a sickness. Now, if we try to treat the symptoms, that which is unhappiness, and you know what? We trust that maybe this sickness, unhappiness, and unrighteousness, we'll find out, we can't do it. I mean, there's no way to do it. We go to psychologists, you know, and they say, well, you know what's wrong with you, and try to tell you what's wrong with it. But they never do get down to the problem of man's heart. This unhappiness. So we find out the unhappiness and dissatisfaction, that is just the symptoms. The sin is unrighteousness. Although we try another painted stick, So many people today is trying another penny stick. You see, and God has made them that, hey, there's something wrong with you because they're not satisfied. They're always looking. I mean, sometimes people try, you've heard of workaholics, they'll try to work 17 jobs. I mean, they'll try to work 24 hours a day. Man, they'll tell you that I don't have time to come to church. I don't have time, to come to church because I got to make a living. No, you got to make a life. Got to take care of that. But you see, they don't have time. They're climbing these painted sticks because there's something wrong with them. But that something wrong is unrighteousness. Because they have this disease of unhappiness and they have the disease of dissatisfaction. So they're climbing another stick. Well, you see, well, they're looking for the pleasure. Well, if I could just go on enough of vacation, if I can have this or I can go this and see all the movie stars and all the great things they go to and the rich and the famous and see all the places they go to, do you think that's going to make them happy? God says, no, it won't, because they're going to be dissatisfied. And I'm going to tell you why, because they're unrighteous. That's why they climb these penis sticks. John 3:6 tells us that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. The physical can never satisfy the spirit, and the spirit can never satisfy the physical. You may hear the best sermons you ever heard by the best preacher that you've ever heard. When you still go home, you want something to eat. You'll still want to go home for dinner today. And this, I'm not saying this is a good sermon, but I'll tell you, you'll still be hungry. Because you see, the spirit will not satisfy the physical. But the physical, what I'm telling you, will never, ever, ever satisfy the spiritual side. That's what Jesus Christ is saying. Jesus Christ, for 40 days and 40 nights, you see, he fasted, you see. He was with the Father, but then he said he was still hungry. After being in the presence of God Almighty, the Father and the Son together for 40 days and 40 nights, he still was thirsty and he still got hungry. The food of a spiritual man, I'm going to tell you, is Jesus Christ. The food of a spiritual man is righteousness. If you want to be happy this morning and you want to be satisfied in this little old life that God has let you live for just these few years that you're going to be living on this earth, I'm telling you right now, you got to accept Jesus Christ. You got to accept Jesus Christ for you and your family. Oh, I don't care how good a father that you think you are. I don't care how good a mother that you think you are. How you try to raise your family. Without Jesus Christ, you are a very unhappy person and you're dissatisfied and you're going to climb the painted sticks all you want to and you will never ever be satisfied to feel the loneliness in your heart that Jesus Christ has put there this morning. If you want to be happy, if you want to be satisfied, you better learn this morning. The deep spiritual need we have, dissatisfaction and happiness, is we climb these sticks of this world, and that sickness we find out is sin. But the focus of a starving man, the focus of a starving man, what is that? Man, when a mankind is really starving to death. I know most of us has never really been hungry. I've never been hungry. I thought I was a time or two, but I never ever really have been hungry. But I'm going to tell you, a person that's really destitute for food. I mean a person, don't know where they're going to get their next meal. I mean is starving for food, as you see on television a lot of times. If you bring that person, you set that person down at a nice table, that person won't really care what side the plate the fork is on. He won't care if that plate is chipped a little bit. And he won't care what size of glass of water he has or a glass of whatever he has to drink. That person is focused on food. And he says this morning, are you hunger and thirst after Jesus Christ, after righteousness? He said, you shall be filled. God has made us a physical realm that we cannot exist very long without food. In fact, I read where it says we can go 40 days without food, 3 days without water, 8 minutes without air. But in a spiritual existence, you can't go not 1 second without Jesus Christ, because he's the reason that he gives you life here this morning. It's all about Jesus Christ. Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Without righteousness, there is the judgment of God and the wrath of God. Here this morning, everybody here to hear my voice. If you not have accepted Jesus Christ, you got the judgment and wrath of God upon you right now. Well, how about my dear little child? How about my dear little girl? How about my dear little boy? If that child here this day, are not here this day and have never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when they reach that age of accountability, when that person knows that they are rebelling against God and know that they are a sinner, What about that person? That little child that you love so dear. All the blessing of your kids and your grandkids. And without Jesus Christ, the wrath of God abides upon that little child's head right now. That's the reason it's so important why a mother and a father should be able to see their kids come to the house of God and bring them where they can hear the word of God and be saved. God loves them so much. And if you love your family and love your kids like you ought to, you ought to see that they hear, and all your grandkids. They hear, well, they can hear the word of God. And do what God is telling you to do this morning. Without righteousness, you know there's a judgment of God and a wrath of God. You know what old Paul said later on whenever he penned about two-thirds of the New Testament? You know what old Paul said? He said when he all got old, what Lord had done all through his life that he had been with him, he said, that I might know him. That I may know him. Paul, after everything, you penned two-thirds of the New Testament. Look what Paul, you set up churches, missionary Paul. And he's saying, that I may know him. All that God has done for Paul, you know what Paul was saying? You know, Columbus discovered, we claim the United States. But do you think that he discovered everything in the United States? Just a little tip. Just a little teeny tip is all Columbus ever discovered about this great country that we live in, because there was so much more. But our old Paul is saying that I may know him. Paul says, I've been in shipwreck. I've been in pearls. I've been beaten. I've been stoned. I've been in hunger. I've been in thirst. All that he's done for me, that I might know him. Because Paul, even the great man of God he was, realized there was just a little touch, just a little hem of his garment, is all Paul ever touched about Jesus Christ, because he said there's so much more. How about you this morning? How about you and your family? Are you saved this morning? Do you have this righteousness? 34 years ago, an old Baptist church right across there, Pleasant Hill. I come down the aisle, accept Jesus. 34 years ago, man, was I happy. But I tell you, I never ever dreamed at that time there was so much more. And they've been so much more every year. They've been so much more every month. They've been so much more every week, every day, every hour. They've been so much more. I want to tell you this morning, there's so much more that God wants to do for you. There's so much more today in Jesus. There's so much more for you and your family if we just heed to Jesus Christ. Help us to see the great need today. I want to tell you, your need today is not Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. Your need today is not some doctrine. And your need today is not just an experience that you've had. I'm going to tell you what, your need today is to meet Jesus and to accept him as your Lord and Savior and feed on him. Even after we're saved, we have to still feed upon Jesus Christ. Still feeding upon Jesus Christ. There was an elderly lady with loved the Bible, and she meditated on the Bible every day. She prayed scriptures. She sung scriptures and all her life. And after a while, you know, as we know, the life will pass by. You get kind of agey, and you know what? Her memory began to pass away. And on this verse of scripture she could really remember after meditating on so many in the Bible was 2 Timothy 1 and 12. It says, "For the which cause I often suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day." And as we know that she kept on failing in her life, and in her memory passed away, and she got down to where she could only remember one word, and she could only say one word, and that one word was him. 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 You see, one day you're going to come that part. Will there only be him? Your family and your loved ones can only go so far. It might be in a hospital bed. It might be in a nursing home, or it might be at home somewhere. And your family has labored with you all they can labor with you. And the doctor's done what they can do, and they kind of turned out the lights in that room that night. And there's nobody there but just you. But you see, you won't be alone if you have Jesus. Then you'll understand, no matter how little you love your family, they can only do so much for you. Then there'll only be Him. 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 Then you'll find out that's all you really need is Him. Are you hungry enough to come and do what God has called you to do today? Are you really hungry enough? Or you might have the pride to keep you from coming and doing what God has called you to do today. Sir, are you hungry enough to do what God has called you to do, what you need to do here today? Ma'am, boy and girl today, are you hungry enough are you hungry enough to get a blessing out of this message? Not from me, but from the Lord? Or do you lack the appetite of doing what God has called you to do here this day? Now, if you come to church this morning and you're really not very hungry, as many times people come and they're not very hungry, and you know what you'll do? You'll start looking around for somebody or something to criticize. Might criticize our song service this morning. You might criticize my preaching. You might criticize somebody else. Looking around, you'll find somebody. You don't have to look very far to find something to criticize if you're not very hungry. And people, it's the attitude of growling and grouchy all the time. They're never satisfied. You see, they don't come to church hungry. Did you come to church hungry this morning? Hunger. When a man sits down, he wants to be fed. Many people today is very unhappy. They're not hungry because they don't have the appetite for the things of God. And they climb in the penny sticks of the world. You see, if people really understand this, God has put the symptoms in the heart and they're not satisfied. But yet, see, they don't come. They want to climb another stick. If this don't make me happy, I climb another stick. And they never, ever really come to Jesus Christ. They never really come to Jesus Christ. The third thing. The fullness of a satisfied man. Verse 6. For thou shalt be filled. Don't mean that you'll never get hungry again. Now you're saved. Jesus Christ said, you drink of this water, you never thirst again. You see, but you see, we know that we want some water after a while. Whenever Thanksgiving time, I love Thanksgiving and Christmas time come, man, and all those big meals that you just eat and you eat, you eat and you eat when you shouldn't be eating. And you say, man, the way I feel right now, I won't never want to eat again. And did you know what? About evening time, you start hitting that refrigerator. But you want a turkey sandwich or something or other. You done filled up, but you want another meal. Well, that's the way God has made us. He's made us in the spiritual realm the same way. You might be feeding here this morning on the blessing word of God, but I'll tell you, you'll be hungry again. The physical. If you have no appetite, if someone don't have no appetite in the physical realm, you know there's something wrong with them, they're sick. You take a person don't have no appetite, they'll start just kind of vanishing away. Get weaker and weaker and thinner. And either something's wrong, they're either sick or either they're dead. The spiritual is the same way. If they don't have a hunger for the things of God, they are either sick or they are dead without a hunger for the things of God. Thank you, Lord, for a spiritual appetite. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me with a spiritual appetite. If you keep climbing these painted sticks of this world, you'll find out it'll never satisfy you. You need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In these verses of scriptures I'm fixing to read in 1 Timothy 6 and 17 said, charge them that are rich in this world that they may not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. For he satisfied the longing soul and filled the hunger soul with goodness. And the closing here this hour. The food of the spiritual man is Jesus. The focus of a starving man is food. And the fullness of a satisfied man is this beatitude, blessed and happiness and righteousness. Of the painted sticks of the world, it always comes down to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If you want to have health today, and your healthy of righteousness is Jesus Christ. Now God says, now if you hunger and you thirst, if you come here this morning with the attitude to do what God has called you to do. You see, God has spoke to you in a very special way, each and every one of you. As we come with a song here this hour, what God is doing is giving you just a few moments to do what God has told you to do. Now, you know, he's always spoke to your heart and said, you know what you need to do, sir? You and your family, you know what y'all need to do? What you need to do this morning, what God has told you to do. I don't know what God has told you to do. But I know one thing, you need to do what God has told you to do. But did you come with that appetite to receive the things of God and have this joy and happiness that come from the righteousness of Jesus Christ? You see, I believe they're going to be a meeting day again in heaven. And God made provisions for me and my family. Whenever we say goodbye in this world, I believe they're going to be a reunion day for me and my family. You know what? God made that possible. Sir, how about you? Ma'am, do you know for sure that your family will be with you in heaven? Don't go to heaven without your family. Here today is what God wants you to do. Would you do what God has called you to do in your heart this hour as we stand and sing this hymn?